Welcome to the Money Tree Investing Podcast. Stock market, wealth, personal finance, value stocks. Invest in your life.
Welcome to another episode of Money Tree Investing Podcast. I'm your host, Larry Ludwig. Today is episode number 10. If you guys wanting to play at home, you can go to moneytreepodcast.com/10. Today we're going to talk to Brian Oberry about options trading and why they're not always risky. As a senior options analyst at TradeKing, Brian is widely sought out as a resource for his options trading knowledge and market insights. He has contributed to numerous articles to the Wall Street Journal, Reuters, and Bloomberg, and has had frequent appearances on CNBC's Fast Money and Fox Business News. He has nearly 20 years of experience in the business and continually seeks out to improve his understanding of the retail investor. He has given thousands of options trading seminars worldwide and written 100 articles on investing itself, and is the author of the popular trading resource, The Options Playbook. Prior to working at TradeKing, Brian was a senior staff instructor at the CBOE. So hi, Brian. Welcome to the program.
Oh, well, great to be here.
Tell me, since you're considered the options guy, tell me more about why you think options are not always a risky bet, especially for the average investor. They've never done it before. Why is it not always that case?
Well, that's a great question. As far as options are concerned, a lot of people think that they're just used for pure speculation. Because when you talk about options, options provide you leverage, especially when you think about the buyers of option contracts, the buyers of puts and the buyers of calls. You can use a little bit of cash to participate in the stock price movement. Now, that's not the only way to use options, and that's probably one of the biggest misunderstandings of beginning investors when they come to the options marketplace. Options actually evolve from the need for insurance, the need to protect positions, and ideally really happened in the agricultural markets, looking at corn crops, et cetera, and how you could assure that you're going to get a specific price point for your corn. And so where options really originated from was the need for protection. And if you actually go into the options market thinking that they're only used for pure speculation, which they can be, but that's not the only aspect of them, they can actually be used to reduce risk. But if you think of them as pure speculation, then you're actually going to have a tough time in the options marketplace because you won't understand the pricing. You won't really understand what's going on.
If someone's looking who knows nothing about options, and how do they want to get started, or what's the best way to get them started?
Well, the best way, well, I guess you can, in this environment with the internet and YouTube and different sources, is you could either go to videos or you can go out and read. I've written a book called The Options Playbook, and that's available. You can buy it on Amazon, and it basically is a summary of all the different plays and all the different strategies that are available to option traders, and obviously a lot of mistakes to avoid if you're trading options. And there's a lot of videos that are available. As a matter of fact, on TradeKing's website, once a week, we do videos that outline specific option strategies. We call that the weekly options review. We also do a video that centers around technical analysts, and we do some trades based off of charting. And those are all available on the TradeKing Education Center. And we're going to have an Option Trading for Rookies course. It's actually a three-part series that's going to start October 30th. And all that is available for free for everybody. You don't even have to be a TradeKing client.
Yeah, I mean, this is being recorded now the 2nd of October, or actually 3rd of October. And we're hopefully going to have this live by October 17th. But with that said, yeah, they definitely should check that out. I mean, the Options Playbook is a great book. I have it myself.
Thank you.
It's definitely it's a great intro. And the website itself, too, is a great intro to how to get involved in options. Let's talk about what do you consider some of the biggest mistakes that individuals do or start off with options trading?
actually, the question that you first asked really addresses this question well, in that a lot of beginning investors think of options and they only think of them as speculation. They use them to leverage their portfolio and generate more risk, as opposed to using them as we mentioned in the second question, as a hedge to reduce risk. And when you're learning about options, I think the latter is a better way to go about it.
Where most people, at least from my, I've made bets or puts where I'm thinking it's going to go down in value. I currently own that stock and thinking it's going to go down in value and use a put. I mean, granted, it's a simple options trade, but it at least hedges my bet where I don't have to sell that stock.
That's correct. And so what you just talked about is called a protective put.
Yes.
And I like to say that protective put, you use it when you're bullish but nervous, right? You know, recently the markets have been a little bit toppy. We're going into a new year. Maybe I have some decent gains, but I would like to put them off until 2015 for tax purposes. Well, instead of selling the stock right now and just flat out getting out, you have the ability to use a put, which you have to pay for. You pay something for it, but it will provide you some protection and a known downside level on that underlying stock. So that's a great example of I'm using a put to protect a stock and protect a gain, and maybe I can push it out until, you know, January of 2015.
And actually sell the stock then, as far as if there is any downside this year, let's say, you're protecting yourself by that put, but wait mm-hmm. until actually selling the stock until 2015, again, for tax purposes. So it's one way to defer taxes or delay your taxes until next year.
Right. So I'm using options. Now, you know, I still own the stock. I have, you know, all the stock ownership. I still get all the upside that if the stock continues on up, I have that benefit. But it gives me peace of mind. And that's one way, a very basic way, that beginning option traders can get a feel for the marketplace. And, you know, you're really not adding – you're taking away some risk from your portfolio, even though you do increase your cost basis a little bit. But it's just like buying protection on your car. It's like buying insurance on a car, in that I'm driving my car around day in and day out, but I got to pay for the peace of mind that if I do run this car into a tree, that I'm going to get my car back.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about an area I have a lot of interest in as far as income generation using options. Can you talk more about that?
This is also an area that I think works well for beginning investors. Once again, we're going to use options centered around a stock position. So let's say I have a stock that I have owned for a while. I might have a little bit of a gain in it, and I would like to generate some income from owning that stock above and beyond any dividends that that stock might pay. Well, you can do that in the options marketplace. That strategy is actually called a covered call. And in the options playbook, we actually outline that in the rookies corner as a great way to start an option trading is to say, I'm going to sell a call. Sell a call means I don't own it. I'm selling it on a stock that I own that says, if the stock goes up to this price, you can call that stock away from me. And for saying that, I actually get cash now that I can use for all sorts of things. I can lower my cost basis on the stock. I could even use the cash to invest in other things.
Exactly. I mean, ultimately, you can buy the stock itself if you deem reasonable price.
Right. Well, you could use it to buy more shares. Yeah, whatever. That cash is yours. You sell something, you get cash now. That cash is yours no matter what happens. Now, if the market does go up and it reaches the price that you targeted, we call that price the strike price. Yep. Worst case scenario, they just take your stock away from you.
Yes.
Now, I shouldn't actually say worst case. That's an opportunity risk that you have there. But the worst case scenario would be that the stock actually tank. But most people understand the risks of stock ownership before they get into the options marketplace. So this is another way that you can use options and not increase your risk. As a matter of fact, you're going to reduce your risk overall because you're going to get cash that you can use to lower the cost basis of your stock.
Exactly. Now, we talked about it briefly before as far as ways of hedging your existing stocks you own. And why would you want to do that?
Well, we just covered – actually, we covered both of those strategies that help you hedge in options, both of the most basic strategies, I should say, the protective put And we talked about using that, maybe defer a gain out into 2015, or selling a covered call to actually generate income on a stock that you own. And all you're saying is that it goes a little bit higher. So another strategy, if you go to the next level, is to do both of them at once. That's actually called a collar. So I buy a put below the stock price that has a strike or a specific price below the stock price, and I sell a call above the stock price. So guess what I'm doing? I'm selling that call to help pay for the put, and that's called a collar strategy, and that limits my downside and gives me a little bit more reward on the upside, and it does it at a more reasonable cost to the investor.
You're using the collar to remove volatility?
Yes, that's really what you're doing. In other words, you're saying, I want to play, I'm going to, play in the market between this price underneath my stock and this price above my stock. If the stock is not within that range, then I'm going to take my ball and go home, if that makes any sense. In other words, what I'm saying is that if the stock is in that range, well, then I'll keep the stock. If the stock goes down below that range, well, guess what? I'm going to exercise my put, yep, and I'm going to put that stock to somebody else. That's where the term put comes from.
Yep.
Or if the stock goes up and it gets called away from me, then basically they're going to take my stock away, and I'm going to get that predetermined price that was there. So you're right. You're exactly right. We're reducing the volatility of the stock overall.
Now, let's talk about within TradeKing themselves. You guys have a bunch of tools available to help with assess your risk or overall do some strategies of options. Can you talk more about that?
Yes. If you are a client of TradeKing, we have quite a few tools for the option trader. We have tools that will actually look at the probability of something happening. In other words, you want to say, gee, I'm going to sell a call. What's the probability of that stock reaching that strike price over the life of the option contract? So it's something to help you determine what strike price you might want to sell in a covered call position. We also have what's called a profit and loss calculator. So if you start getting into a little bit more advanced strategies, maybe like the collar that we talked about, where you're buying a put option and selling a call option, mm-hmm, it will actually show you your profit and loss in a picture format. And we also obviously have a lot of research tools that are available to help you pick stocks overall. And for the technical analyst person, we have some tools that will actually search charts for you and try to pick stocks that you might want to do these specific option strategies on.
I mean, one of the things that I like about TradeKing is overall the user interface. I mean, I've been using it now for about 4 years. And definitely it's easy to understand and easy to implement your trades. So that's one of the things I definitely like about the service.
Well, thank you. And that's exactly what we want to hear. That's our goal here at TradeKing. We want to give you the right tools to invest for the right price.
Let's talk about in closing, where can people reach you, Brian, as far as any more information or find out more about options?
Well, first thing is my blog. I am, and you mentioned this earlier, they actually have termed me the options guy here at TradeKing.
Yes.
So inside our trader network, I write a blog that's called the options guy. And the quick URL is optionsguy.tradeking.com. And that's options with an S. You can always email me directly at theoptionsguy@tradeking.com. And obviously, anybody can reach us via social media. TradeKing does have a Facebook page. You can reach out to us on there. And also, using my name on Twitter, if you search for me, you can follow us with all the different education, different shows. Every once in a while, an interesting article or so, just follow me on Twitter.
Cool. Awesome. Thank you, Brian.
All right. Thank you, Larry.
For our roundtable today, we have Andrew Sather for eInvestingForBeginners.com. Nick Krackman for ValueSpreadsheet.com, Miranda Requit for PlantingMoneySeeds.com, and of course me, Larry Ludwig from Investor Junkie. Today, what did you guys think of in terms of the interview? I mean, I guess the first question I'll ask you guys is, Andrew, what do you think in terms of options? Do you currently use options for your investing?
Right now, I don't. I think for myself, it's more of a matter of ignorance and kind of just not knowing enough for me to get into options, but I have done a little bit of research into them, and I know there's some good strategies out there you can use to hedge your bets and really take, because the scary part about options is that you're using leverage. And so, you know, there's ways to minimize that risk so you're not borrowing yourself into oblivion. And I know there's different options out there. I just don't use them as of right now.
Well, more importantly, the most options that SPY are worthless is the bigger issue. I mean, you don't have to necessarily use margin per se, but in terms of most options at SPY are worthless, which is the biggest issue. So you got to know that there is a time decay in your option value as you let it pretty much sit there.
I mean,
yeah, but I think you can make you can benefit from that as well. I mean, if you are on the other side of the option trade, then it's a good thing that they expire worthless.
In other words, you're hoping someone's stupider on the other side of the trade.
Yeah.
So what about you, Nick? Do you use options currently?
Well, I recently started using them, actually, because like Andrew just said, I was a bit ignorant of them. I knew the basics, but I just thought they were really, really risky. And then one of my readers actually contacted me, and he is an option trader. He's been an option trader, a professional option trader for years. And we wrote a blog post on my website, valuespreadsheet.com. And during that process, I just learned so much, and it really started to click with me. And I thought, wow, it doesn't have to be that risky. And there are actually very sane ways to use options to generate income or lower the purchase price of your investments of your stocks, for example. And I also have in one of the earlier podcast episodes, I interviewed my friend Chris Moody. He is a professional trader as well, and he has also been showing me some of the strategies he uses with options to consistently generate income. And like you said, many of those options expire worthless, but there are option strategies. For example, one is called selling naked put options.
Yes.
And it has a weird name maybe, but it's very interesting strategy. And with that strategy, you're on the other side of the option trade. You're selling the option. And when it expires worthless, that's actually a good thing for you because you get to keep what is called the option premium.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's one of the things I'm now testing out. And, it's very interesting to dive in.
Yeah, I don't claim to be an expert in options either. I would say beginner to intermediate where, yeah, I mean, a lot of the strategies you can get into are really advanced and, at least for now, above my comfort level, but I'm starting to get more into that realm. What about you, Miranda?
Yeah, so like Andrew, a lot of my reluctance to invest in options has to do with kind of the ignorance and then the margin aspect of it. And it's kind of funny that I say that because I think about it sometimes about investing in options because I've written about options before. I write for a Forex trading site, and I've written for another like major deal maker Forex trading site. I wrote for them for like 5 or 6 years. And so I've done a lot of writing about options, and I've written guides about options, like ghostwritten them. And it's always fascinating to me that you can do this and that there are people that can make money and that there are strategies that can work for you if you know what you're doing. And there are days when I look at it, I'm like, yeah, I should just mess around with that a little bit, you know, take a little extra money and see what can come of it. But I'm just too risk averse and I'm just too much of a wimp, I guess. I just can't get into it.
Yeah, you have to feel comfortable. You can't do – I think it's foolish for anyone to invest in something they don't understand or feel it's too risky and run the risk of just being an idiot, like you said. I mean, ultimately, that's the biggest concern. I mean, the interesting thing I've been – we talked about it off air, Brian and I, is in terms of the VIX right now, the volatility index or the fear and greed index. And right now, I started to do that as far as puts and calls because of it's just such a – it was at the time so low. And obviously, the past week, we've had volatility, you know, 300-point swings in the Dow Jones where it's like a trader's market right now. It's really crazy at the time we're recording this.
Yeah. But
I guess let me go on to the next question. In terms of do you guys do any other methods to minimize your risk when investing? Is there other ways you use the hedge? If you don't use options, what do you use then? And I guess I'll pass the question back to you first, Miranda.
Well, It's the indexing. It just, when you're indexing for the long term, that's almost like a built-in hedge because you're basically relying on the market to gain over time and to come out ahead over time. So I think using indexing is just sort of is naturally a hedge that you end up with because you're just relying on the market to do it for you. So I think that's probably the best I can come up with as far as a hedge goes. I did for an investing challenge, I did think it would be fun to try out some commodity-based stuff and some bond-based stuff just to kind of balance that out and kind of hedge against market drops or whatever. But so far that hasn't really panned out that well.
Well, do you use it? I mean, so you don't look at it as where I looked at any hedge as a way to pretty much an insurance to see, you know, hedging the market or preventing myself from losing what I already gained. So now you're using more asset allocation to kind of use it as a, it's not really a hedge per se, but it's just looking at the long term, the stock market should be higher than where it is now. You know, take 20 years in the future. You're pretty much guaranteed to be higher, not always, but almost always higher than what it is currently.
Yeah, and really, yeah. So, yeah, I don't take any active steps to limit losses. I don't, since I don't really invest in individual equities, I don't worry about stop loss orders. None of that stuff is, you know, really fits into my overall investing plan. You know, once again, Miranda's boring. So.
No, boring is not necessarily bad. I mean, that's one of the things we want to, I think, emphasize in this podcast is we're not, just because of one strategy is considered quote unquote boring, doesn't mean it's wrong.
Yeah, and really following the boring strategy. Whenever I get off my boring strategy to try something new, it's always been a disaster. So I always return to the boring long-term strategy.
So Nick, in your case, what do you do any type of hedging or any other ways other than options to minimize your risk when investing?
Well, I do not actually use stop loss orders because I believe that when you are looking at a great company and the price is declining, that's actually a good thing because you can get this great company at an even lower price. So that's why I do not use stop loss orders. And another way many people try to minimize risk is through diversification, of course. However, I don't do a lot of that either. I mean, I try to own a very focused portfolio, concentrated portfolio, of around 10 stocks or less. That way, there's not a massive amount of diversification, but obviously I do own some stocks in different sectors. However, the way I try to minimize risk is by only buying absolutely fantastic companies with a proven solid track record and above average profitability, and then only purchase them when they are selling for a bargain price. And this bargain price sort of creates a margin of safety. And if you buy it low enough, you'll increase your upside potential while minimizing your downside because it's already that low. So that's the way I try to minimize risk.
And in Andrew's case, what do you do as far as minimize risk?
The big thing for a hedge is you just want to be protected in case the market crashes and just, you know, takes a dump tomorrow. Obviously, a big part of that is diversification, not only in just the stocks you own, because that's important as well to minimize risk, but you want to be diversified in different sectors. So one way that I kind of do that is look at companies that are like they don't depend on the general economy. So a company like I've mentioned this before, ADM, Archer Daniels Midland, what they do is they're a farming company. So they deal with agriculture and those type of things. So their profits won't see crashes if the general market crashes. So you want to look for companies like that. I think also using a little bit of asset allocation and having some bonds, not bond funds because those can go down too, but steady bonds as part of your allocation. Doing that and just making sure you're not overly exposed to any one sector and trying to have, if you are playing the market, you know, trying to have stocks that are in industries that aren't what they call cyclical or depending on the general economy to work. So I think if you have, it doesn't need to be a big percentage of your portfolio, but a hedge is something that's usually 10 to 20%. If you can have that, or you could use options as well, I think that's a really great way to go.
Of course, we're not trying to rah-rah options. Options are not perfect. What do you think in terms of the disadvantages with options? I mean, let's pass it on just to you first, Andrew. What do you think are the main issues with options if you were to invest in them?
Obviously, if you're not comfortable with it, if you don't have the knowledge, I would also say, you know, depending on which options you buy, there's a big chance that you lose even more than you initially invested if you're using margin. So that's definitely a big option. And another thing too with options is you have to realize that there's no free lunch. Like if you're using a strategy, there's going to be a downside to it. So, I mean, collaring sounds like a great way to minimize your volatility, but you have to realize that also negates your upward gain. So, you know, you're putting a ceiling on how much you can gain. So there can be instances where, you know, if you would have just bought the stock outright, you could have seen massive gains, but because you collared it or put options on it, you lost all the upside gain. So realize that no matter whatever option strategy you use, there's going to be limits to it. And so if you're limiting downside risk, usually you're also limiting how much you can gain.
What about the issue of, this is something we really didn't talk about in the interview, but there's really, unlike say a stock, there is only a winner and a loser. There's no ultimate overall winners in stocks where, so in other words, on the trade itself, there's always someone losing. If you win, someone else lost, where compared to, same thing with Forex, where a stock is not necessarily a loser per se. Miranda, what do you think in terms of, what are the disadvantages of options themselves?
I think one of the biggest disadvantages is this idea that you can make money quick and easy without a lot of training or thought going into it, because we think of options as being just like really fast paced and really easy, and it's this or this, and you can just do it really fast, especially if they're binary options. There's this idea that you can like strike it big without too much thought.
Or money for that matter.
Oh, exactly. Yes, or money. And so you have this, because of the leverage, you have this idea that you can, you know, use a small amount of money and then with a few quick trades, you can be this wealthy, wealthy person. And the reality is just like any other investment, just like any other trading strategy. I should call it a trading strategy and not an investment because it's trading.
It's trading.
But so just like any other trading strategy, you need to practice, you need to understand what's happening, and you need to have a good idea of a plan. Options trading is not something that people just do willy-nilly. These people have plans, they have strategies, they work it out, they practice.
Stick to them, yes.
And so I think that one of the biggest downsides is this idea that there's this glamorous lifestyle awaiting you with one or two clicks of the mouse.
And you're sitting at a trading desk just sitting there, you know, yeah. Enjoying watching charts and hoping that your option, you know, expires and say in the money.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, Nick, what do you think? What do you think are the disadvantages of options?
Yeah, well, I completely agree with Miranda that they might seem like a quick and easy way to profit. So people should be very careful of that. And yeah, I like Chris Moody also said in the interview in one of the previous episodes of this podcast, he said there's just a massive learning curve when it comes to trading and options trading in particular. He says that there are some traders that earn serious amounts of money, but it took them years to get to where they are. So you shouldn't underestimate how long it takes to really become good at trading options. And also, I think it is difficult for people to sort of find what works and what doesn't, because there are so many sort of scammy strategies and trading systems being promoted all over the internet. So it's really difficult, and that's probably why it takes that long to learn, just to figure out what actually works. So yeah, it's complicated, and it's very easy to mess up. Like Andrew pointed out, you can lose more money than you put in. So yeah, I really would urge people to be careful and read up and study it before actually committing a lot of money.
So in other words, I mean, what we'll probably recommend to our podcast listeners is options are something you should, if you consider it or want to look into it more, look into it, but don't just jump, dive right in, start slowly.
Sure.
You know, with a little money, some play money, if you will, and go from there. If you feel you're good at it, you know, it's going to something where you're not going to turn into an options trader expert overnight.
I think it's a great place to start, especially if you have value investors. I know we have a lot of them out there who are listening and they maybe want to dip their toes in the options. Like a strategy like selling naked puts can really get some people excited because you're talking about companies that you already want to buy.
Yeah.
And so you can make income on that stock without owning it. And
while
then,
waiting for it to buy,
right,
buy at the right,
right
price.
And then if it does fall, then you do activate that put. And like a strategy like yours, Nick, where you say, at a certain price, this is what I'm willing to pay for this company, and it doesn't matter how much lower it goes, I'm happy to buy it. That's exactly where you'd want to use a naked put, where basically no matter what happens, you have a win-win situation. The only reason you lose is if the stock just shoots straight up. So instead of making all that appreciation, maybe you made some income. But
yeah,
I mean,
yeah, true.
How often is that going to happen? And if that's something that you're willing to forego in order to make income, and you can make more income than you would on a dividend. So I think that's an important part to just kind of put emphasis on.
Yeah, just what I would like to say, one little aspect of this strategy is it's all about statistics, right? You look at so-called standard deviation, and you purchase for example, you can limit the amount of times that you actually force to purchase the stock. If you only want to do it for the income, you can purchase sell this put option for a price which is so far below the current share price that there's such a low risk that you'll actually be forced to purchase the stocks. And that's a way to actually, with very low risk involved, you can generate income from this strategy.
Let's talk about, I guess let's change gears as far as the podcast itself today. And let's talk about ultimately in terms of iTunes, you know, we have definitely need our support for people listening to this podcast. If you enjoy what you hear, please go to iTunes and make a review. I'll read one of the reviews on the podcast itself. And it's from a guy, his name is Inner Success Radio, and his title was awesome. Practice what you preach. That won't be an issue with this podcast. This is run by a group of people who practice what they preach. Highly recommended. So definitely submit your review on iTunes if you can. It would help us out in any way. If you have any questions related to investing, please go to our website, and we'll try to answer those on the air. You go to moneytreepodcast.com/contact. Again, this is episode number 10. And for show notes, you can go to moneytreepodcast.com/10. On our website, we also have tools. So if you go to that website, you can check out our recommended tools. And it's one way to actually support this podcast. So please do that. In the end, no one cares more about your money than you do. So please choose it wisely. Thanks for listening, and please come again.
Thank you for listening to the Money Tree Investing Podcast. Visit us at moneytreepodcast.com for more free investing resources.